Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Cam Newton and the Patriots got their season kicked off with a win over the Dolphins yesterday. Cam only had 155 passing yards with no touchdowns through the air, but the former MVP did find the end zone twice on the ground and also racked up 75 yards rushing as the Patriots would finish with the 21-11 win. Michael Vick still with us. So, Mike, can Cam keep this up?
I think Cam can keep it up. I think the New England Patriots, I think they dove into that Auburn playbook a little bit. The look was different yesterday. Cam was explosive. He was efficient. He ran the offense extremely well. I will say this, you know, it was a good start and you know, they can continue to build from what, you know, happened yesterday, but the schedule's not going to get any easier. I think upcoming they got the Seahawks, the Raiders, and the Chiefs, so that'll be the big test. But if they can continue to just stay on course and not deviate from what they did yesterday, just build from it, then I think Cam will continue to have success. Obviously, the rest of the team has to, you know, follow suit. I think defensively, they're going to continue to be competitive. And as long as they got Stephon Gilmore on the edge, they'll get short fields. You know, every quarterback is not going to throw 3 interceptions per game. So they're going to have to, you know, put some drives together. And ball control is going to be key. They have to be consistent with that. But I think Bill Belichick knows that if you can run the football, then you can throw off the play action. And if you can run the football, then you can keep the other team off the field. And that's what Cam brings. So, you know, I think yesterday was a good step. I think they have to continue to just find ways to, you know, outmaneuver the defense and outplay the opposition. But the pedigree is there. Cam looked excited. He was all into the game, and he brought that energy. So, you know, every sense of motivation that he showed us, or, you know, everything that he blogged, or everything that he showed on Instagram throughout the offseason was on display yesterday. And it was exciting to see Cam get the 1-0.
The question is, can he keep it up? Cam is not going to run 15 times every game. No, he can't keep that up. Cam Newton, a quarterback, is not going to carry the ball 240 times. So, in other words, what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to start to build this offense. Yesterday, it called for them to run the ball 42 times because the Miami Dolphins could not stop the run. And that's what Coach Belichick has always been a chameleon. He doesn't go into the game and says, we have Tom Brady, we got Gronk, we're going to throw it this many times. Because he's had situations, Skip. You remember that Sunday night game when it went to Indy, and Gray, who only had one game, rushed for 204 yards because Indy couldn't stop the run. We remember in the championship game, LeGarrette Blount, the Winnebago, he ran for almost 200 yards because they couldn't stop the run. Coach Belichick will take what the defense gives him, and then he will use that against you. So, okay, you can't stop the run. You want to give me the run? Okay, boom. You can't stop the pass? I'm going to throw it. But I like what I saw. The thing is, the biggest key for Cam to continue to do this is stay above the sticks. You can't be running like this when it's 2nd and 12, when it's 3rd and 10. But when it's 3rd and close, he can use his legs, if there's nothing there in the passing game, to continue drives. So I believe, and you mentioned, this schedule's about to get tough. We're about to see just how good a team this is. Because Seattle, I don't know if anybody watched. I know they played Atlanta. You didn't want to see. But, Skip, Russell Wilson is unbelievable. Ooh. I don't think people realize just how good Russell Wilson is. He can make every single throw, and then he's going to get there, and he frustrates you because he scrambles. He runs for 40 yards, and you about to tee off on him, and then he slides down. Mm. He makes everybody so upset. But I like what I saw from Cam. They did a great job. They took advantage of his athleticism, and I believe that's going to be heavily in the game plan all year. This is who Cam Newton is. He's going to get somewhere, Skip, between 6 and 10 rush attempts a game. Probably 4 or 5 will be designed, and the other 4 or 5 will come out a broken plays. But Cam, he'll protect himself. But I like what I saw yesterday. Mm. I got him winning this division. Skip does not.
I do not, because the schedule gets nothing but harder, and this was arguably the easiest game on the schedule. Ryan Fitzpatrick played like old bad Ryan Fitzpatrick, as opposed to the Ryan Fitzpatrick who went 5-4 down the stretch last year and had a couple of miraculous games. But Michael Vick, nobody in the world knows better what it's like to be a running quarterback than Michael Vick knows. Now, you were a much smaller man, obviously, than Cam Newton at, what do we give him, 6'5", 240-ish?
Yeah, he's probably about 240 now. 240. He lost a lot of weight. Yeah.
He is a big man. He is a powerful man. And yet, Michael, as you know, watching, he just gives himself no quarter. He's just a baller, man. I mean, when he takes off, he doesn't want to slide. He wants to run you over. And if it's the goal line, he's going to take the shot and take the hit and beat you to the punch and the goal line. So that my issue is, how much more of that can he take? Can he run 15 times with collisions?
No. Hell no.
You know, every time I seen Cam get hit yesterday, I cringe.
Well, okay.
Because of the history and the New England Patriots' success is dependent on Cam being out there for 16 games.
Yep.
And, you know,
we lose Mike.
Oh,
shoot.
Yeah.
He was right on what I wanted to hear from.
Yeah. But Skip, that's
but what he was going there.
Right, that's okay. What we're talking all about. Right. Yeah, he ran 15 times yesterday. But Skip, that's 240 carries. That's what you give a running back, a guy that you pay money to take those kinds of collisions. And like you said, Skip, Cam's a big man, so that's a lot of target to hit.
Yeah.
You know, and so he has to be careful because, Kate, like you said, Cam, pride is on full display. He's like, I need this first down. Okay, you're in my way. I'm going to run you over.
He just does. I love that about him. Yes. I'm like in awe of it, but he's human.
Right.
And this league is hard,
right,
man. And you can't take – he can take more than any other quarterback, more punishment than any quarterback I've ever seen he takes.
Right.
And but there's a limit to
think
it.
Think about it, Skip. Russell Wilson has been a running quarterback.
He has.
But they can't
hit
it.
He's a slider.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Right.
But there's a difference, Skip. Mark McGwire wasn't stealing any bases because at 6'5", 250, you not sliding. Ricky Henderson stole bases. Willie McGee stole bases. He's a smaller man, so Russell is able to get down. And that's what Cam is going to have to guard against, Skip. Yeah. He's going to have to guard against those collision, those contact plays.
Do we have Michael back? You there?
Yeah.
Mike.
I'm back.
Okay, keep going about how much contact, how much punishment can Cam take down the stretch of the schedule.
Yeah, sorry about that. My kids are in virtual school and everybody's on the internet right now, so bear with me. But I will say, you know, me being a guy with a smaller stature, you know, I learned that as my career went on and I had to protect myself. And, you know, I don't want Cam to get so caught up in, you know, what needs to happen and what he needs to do, think he has to be Superman. And then he gets carried away out there because he puts himself in danger. The New England Patriots' success is going to be dependent on Cam being out there for 16 games. So, you know, I know he's 6'5", 245, but it don't make a difference when you got guys 6'5", 285 pounding on you throughout the course of the game. So, yes, yesterday he looked like he had a great time, but he needs to put a host on it and take care of himself just so he can make sure that he's out there for the longevity of the season.
Yeah, and for those who haven't looked down the Patriots' schedule, as we just talked about, you go at Seattle, Raiders, who looked pretty good yesterday.
Looked good yesterday.
And then they go to Patriots go to Kansas City, and I'm going to skip on down. San Francisco at Buffalo, Baltimore at Texans, Arizona, both L.A. teams back-to-back on the road, and then at Dolphins in December, which is always hard. So it just doesn't get any easier. So it's a lot of punishment down the road waiting to happen if you run 15, 16, 17 times.
Nah, you're not taking he can't take that kind of punishment. Mm. There's a reason why, Skip, they put the rules in to protect the quarterback because they didn't want the quarterback taking that kind of punishment. Now, that's when you're throwing the ball. Once you took that ball up under your arm, you are a running back, and they're going to treat you as such. So they're going to try and split your dome when you run that football.
Yep.
They're like, okay, he don't care about you running? We don't either.
Mm. Okay.
But for one day,
I think more passing plays. I think more pass game.
It was good to get that one out of the way.
Yeah.
It was important for just for Cam, for his confidence, considering the talk before the season started.
No mercy.
Hey,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tom Brady's Buccaneers debut didn't go as well as the 43-year-old QB would have liked. Brady had two touchdowns and nearly 250 passing yards, but he also had a pair of costly interceptions that included a pick six in the third quarter. Tampa would end up losing 34-23. Michael, should the Bucs be encouraged or discouraged by what they saw from Tom Brady?
I got mixed emotions on this one. Definitely mixed emotions, but I'll say just stay encouraged, because that's probably the toughest it's going to get. That New Orleans Saints team is a good football team. They have chemistry. They've been together for a while. They are playing with their backs against the walls because the last couple of years haven't gone right for them. So, of course, you know, they wanted to stick it to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week one in their house. But Tom didn't look so hot yesterday. He didn't look comfortable. And at the age of 43, I don't expect the onus to be on Tom for him to go out and have to do everything. Some guys didn't show up. Mike Evans didn't show up, you know, even though he's dealing with a hamstring injury. Grunt, the run game wasn't present. And then the offensive line play was erratic. So, you know, he got 6 days to fix this. And, you know, the schedule, you know, it's in the Bucs' favor. So, you know, they got some winnable games, but it was concerning yesterday to see Tom throw that pick six, because, you know, as great as Tom is, and he's the GOAT, when you throw a pick six, it's deflating, and he's human. So that's something as a quarterback you're going to think about on your next 10 to 15 pass attempts, because you don't want that to happen. So, you know, they got a week to fix the problem or the problem that occurred yesterday. And I think it all stems from the offensive line. So they got to pay a lot of attention to detail this week and find a way to make sure that the offense runs smoothly next week. And hopefully they can pull out a win.
I agree with you, Mike. I'm going back and forth with this because I really don't know what Tampa wants to be. I know what they need to be. They need to be able to run the football and let Tom play action off of that. But also, if you're not going to let Tom push the ball down the field, he's really not a benefit to you, because what they do really well is Godwin and Mike Evans can get down the field in a hurry, and they need Tom to put the ball up. So, but I don't think their offensive line is good enough to ask Tom Brady to throw the ball 40, 45 times a game, subject him to 8-10 hits a game, and then ask him to also still go out there and practice and throw the ball, because it's not like New England, where he had 20 years in the system. He had been throwing to the most of those guys, with the exception of last year, for extended periods of time. No OTAs, no mini camps. Training camp was really diluted because, Skip, you know, there's no team training camp. There's really not doing anything. So now you're basically just going out there. So this is really the first preseason game. This is really what this should have been treated as. But they count. So my question is, what are they going to be? Are they going to try to run Leonard Fournette and Rojo, as Skip's call it, Roe Jones? Are they going to let Roe?
That's what they call it.
Roe Jones.
Yeah. Are they going to be a team that run the ball 25, 35 times a game and ask Tom Brady to throw it 25, 30 times a game? Or is he going to be in that 40%, that 40 throws a game? Because you're going to ask Tom Brady to take hits. And that's concerning, because I like their defense. I think their defense is going to be good. Todd Bowles is going to heat you up. He gets you behind the sticks, he's bringing pressure. FYI, teams that you're playing Tampa, you get behind the sticks, he's coming to get you. But I don't know, Skip. There are some throws. If I'm a D coordinator and I'm facing the Bucs, I'm playing for verts and quicks. I'm not worried about the ball coming outside the hash, unless it's a vertical, because I don't believe he has the arm strength to consistently throw the ball outside. So for me, I just don't really know what they're going to be. Tom is what, and I tried to tell Skip, but Skip told me he's the GOAT. He wasn't going to have any time acclimating to the system. I think that's going to be the system is different, and it's going to take some time. Trust me, I acclimated to a new system. Vic, you had to acclimate to a couple of new systems. It takes time.
It takes some time.
Okay. So while I thought the Patriots had the easiest game on their schedule at home yesterday, the GOAT had maybe by far the hardest test he's going to have all year in game number one with no preseason, nothing but virtual OTAs, all new teammates except Gronk, who was kind of a no-show yesterday, and I don't know why. I don't know if he's lost it or if he just he hasn't figured the system out. Well, I don't know.
They kept him in the block a little while, Skip.
A little bit here and there, but he was virtually useless in the pass game that shocked me, frankly. And think about the secondary he was up against. Does anybody have a better secondary than the New Orleans Saints? Because you have Marshawn Lattimore, who was the 11th overall pick, and Janoris Jenkins, who was a second-round pick but has made Pro Bowl. Uh-huh. And they're both really good, and Janoris is the all-time cluer. He'll jump a route. He'll eat you alive, and he ate the GOAT alive yesterday.
You better double move him.
You better. You just better. And then the safeties are Malcolm Jenkins. It doesn't get much better than Malcolm Jenkins, who once upon a time was the 14th overall pick out of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. He's made Pro Bowls. He's three Pro Bowls and two rings. And then that kid, Marcus Williams, he's a good player. Yeah. He was a second-round pick. So the totality, the unity of those four, man, it's hard. And then Cam Jordan, is there a much better pass rusher than him?
He's solid.
And DeMario Davis is flying at you. And they had four or five other guys. They're having a hard time blocking them.
Yeah.
So Tom did throw some deeper passes. He threw five or six balls that hit receivers right in the hands. So I thought he did the best he could do under the circumstance. I thought the throw up the seam to Mike Evans, it's just wrong page. I know Arians threw Tom completely under the bus, but remember, he's thinking Mike Evans is 6 feet, 5 inches tall, and he's supposed to be running, I don't even know what you call that route. It's kind of a post.
Well, it looked like it was cover two, so they expected Mike to keep going down the hole.
Yeah.
But Mike, like, well, the linebacker's carrying me. I see Malcolm Jenkins. I know you're not going to throw this, so I'm going to pull up and stop.
Okay, so, but if he
he's
keeps running,
supposed to take the middle of the field.
Yeah, see, Tom thought he could win a jump ball with Malcolm Jenkins.
Right.
So that's what Tom's thinking, but they've never been to battle together.
Right.
Not one time has he ever thrown Mike Evans a pass like that.
Right.
So he's thinking, can I trust 6'5 just to go up and catch the ball? And it looks horrible.
Right.
You know, it just looks like a terrible
over. Mike, I don't know how y'all did it, but they call this the Tampa 2, where the Mike backer would just run, and it looked like it's three across the board. So what we started doing is that we would take off, and then we would pull up at 12 yards, and then the quarterback would just throw us the ball. And I think that's what Mike Evans was thinking, because he sees the linebacker taking off. He sees the safety. He's like, I'm not getting down the hole. Let me just run the stop. Tom puts it on me. We got a completion. So that's something, as you mentioned, with practice, look, if that linebacker just hightails it out of there, I know I'm not going to be able to beat him over the top.
Yep.
I'm just going to stop at 12 yards. You put it on me. We got a first down.
Yeah, and the safety was kind of settling. He wasn't on the hash in a two cover two. So I think, you know, and to 2 points that you made, Shannon, real quick, we talk about preseason. You know, would the preseason have benefited Tom so that he can go out and see, you know, if these concepts actually work versus different coverages? He would have had the chance to do it versus live action. You know, that just wasn't the case. And two, you know, he's only been in this system for what? You know, 6 and 5 months now, you know, if that. So, you know, you look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers who really flourished yesterday because year two in the system, more comfortable, understand it better. So these are all things that's going to play a factor throughout the course of the season. It's a reason to be encouraged, but also discouraged. So, you know, it's mixed emotions.
Shannon's getting a little queasy over here because he's starting to think, GOAT's going to figure it out.
I know Tom Brady ain't used to being criticized publicly and to say things were actually his fault publicly. The head coach said those two mistakes were Tom Brady's fault. He never worried about that in 20 years
in
New England.
He wasn't even nice about it. Like, he didn't say, but it was Tom's first game. There was none of that. It's like, wrong.
But Skip, but you know how B.A. is. That's how he coached.
Rough, tough.
Well, Tom knew as well. Michael, so good to have you. Appreciate it. So glad football is back. We'll check in with you very soon.
No mercy.
Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers led the Packers to a 43-34 victory behind his 364 yards passing and four touchdowns against the Vikings, which wasn't fun for me. Meanwhile, Kyler Murray led the Cardinals to an upset win over the 49ers on the road. Kyler rushed for 91 yards and a score in the win and had 230 yards passing with a touchdown and an interception. So, Shannon, who had the better win, Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray?
I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers because he was washed up. Remember, they took a quarterback in the first round. They traded up to get a quarterback because they say that Aaron Rodgers, and we read all the articles, all offseason was the articles that being written, Aaron Rodgers is not that dude anymore. Mm. He's slowing down and yada, yada, yada. And he went to Minnesota, and everybody knows what a Mike Zimmer defense represents, especially the Minnesota Vikings. And I understand the crowd know it wasn't there, but that's still their defense. And he was 32 of 44 for 364 and four touchdowns. Mm. He was spectacular. I'm beginning to think this isn't Aaron Jones' team. Hey, it might be Aaron Rodgers' team.
Really?
But Skip, you know me. I don't really like to get video. I don't like video because I just like to talk. But lately, I've been needing video to accentuate my points.
Really?
And so, yeah. So this will be exhibit. I like to enter this into evidence. This is exhibit A. Go ahead. Thank you. Look at this right here. Skip, look at this. There are three guys in the NFL that can make this throw. One of them just made it. The other is Pat Mahomes, and the other guy is Russell Wilson. Look at this, Skip. That's right before the half. Now, that's what you call dropping it into the bucket.
Yeah, it was a little late.
No, look at this. This is what you call, Skip, dropping it in the bucket.
Yeah, not Brady yet.
No, but you're Brady when you could. On his best day.
I just showed you some Brady doing
Skip,
that.
If they put him in a deep sleep, even when he's dreaming, he couldn't throw the ball like that. Skip, there's only a handful of guys, two, I can think of off the top of my head.
Mm.
Skip, he was special yesterday. You know that.
Mm.
And at some point in time, just get a man his credit. Just say, you know what? What I'm seeing, I haven't seen a whole lot of guys do that.
Mm.
He's the greatest story I've ever seen. Mm. Now, there's one that's about 24 years old that's coming down the pipeline. Yeah. He might make me like, well, dang. I remember when Aaron Rodgers was the greatest thrower. But this kid here, Skip, not to diminish him, but Devontae Adams had 17 targets, had 14 catches. Aaron Rodgers, is 92 QBR as good, Skip? Because the guy that you, the guy that we, you know, Rodgers or Kyler, he had 80.
Is 85.
No.
I don't know. You're using the wrong QBR.
Actually, no. I don't know what you're using, but my stat, 80.
85.
80. No, Skip.
At it right here.
No. You want to use all these other? No.
No, I'm using the whatever QBR it is that we always use.
No.
You're using the wrong one. It's 90 to 85.
But plus, Kyler Murray, people say Kyler Murray was going to be the MVP.
Mm.
My guy was supposedly be washed up. He was a thing of the past.
Yep.
So I'm taking Aaron Rodgers in this situation because he was spectacular.
He was spectacular, but. You know, I start harking back to openers past for Aaron Rodgers, and last year against Chicago is a little more of a defensive game, but Aaron made some big throws that helped win the game, and I thought, well, here he goes. He's back. Here we come. And he winds up in QBR for the year, finishing 18th, in completion percentage, 21st.
This game.
21st. That was after a big opener, opening win at Chicago.
Okay, we don't know what Kyler's going to do after his big opener.
So wait a second. And then 2018, Aaron Rodgers had a huge opener. Do you remember opening? Was it Monday night when he hurt his knee against the Bears?
Yes.
At Lambeau, and he came back, and they won the fourth quarter 21-3, and he hit Randall Cobb for 75 yards in the winner. And I thought, here he goes. And there he went.
Skip, the man was hurt. You said he hurt his knee.
And he wasn't very good the rest of the year. He finished 16th in QBR and 26th in completion percentage. 2017, he had a big, huge opening salvo against Russell Wilson. He beat him at Lambeau, threw for 318 yards. And I'm thinking, well, here he comes. And there he went.
Skip.
I don't know.
Skip, the question was, who had the most impressive season opening win, not what they did in 18, 15, 16.
Okay, well,
yesterday.
I'm just telling you, I'm not going to put that much stock in it because I need to see next,
and
next.
But that wasn't a question.
Okay, back to what happened yesterday.
Yes, thank
you. By far, the biggest win in the National Football League yesterday belonged to the little big man who plays quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. Show me a better win than going to the defending NFC champ on its home turf and hanging in, and then taking over the fourth quarter with your arm and your legs. This little man can fly. He's got quickness and downfield speed and arm and legs in the fourth quarter. He just took it over. And he's got a new toy, and this toy can really catch. Did you see what that D-hop had yesterday?
I saw D-hop.
Yeah, he had 150 yards.
I'm sure the Texans saw that also.
Thank you very much. So the reason I picked the Arizona Cardinals to be a wild card team is they played the 49ers to the wire both games last year, and they went to Russell Wilson last year and beat them straight up, head-to-head, and nuked them in their home stadium at Seattle.
Whoa.
This little man can play.
But I'm trying to figure out. So, but he beat Jimmy Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
You have, like you tell me.
35 QBR.
Well, yeah, so you have little to no respect for Jimmy G.
Nope, but did they not just bum rush Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship game?
Whoa.
Same stadium.
Whoa, hold on.
Aaron Rodgers got run off the field in the championship game. Same place.
Yep. The question was season opening.
Yeah.
You have little to no respect for Jimmy G.
Mm.
So anybody that does anything good against him, remember, because that's what you did to Mahomes. Remember in the Super Bowl? You say you're going to disqualify that because he was going against Jimmy Garoppolo, who had three completions in the fourth quarter. Mm. So you're going to disqualify that. So anybody that plays against Jimmy G should be disqualified, right?
Kittle, Mostert.
Kittle got
Bosa,
hurt.
Bosa on
hold
defense.
On, hold on. Kittle's got hurt.
He did.
So Minnesota got nobody. Nobody's on Minnesota's team. Ain't nobody any good.
He's owned them his whole career. You know it, and I know. He just has. The Packers take one look at that purple, and they go, we got this.
Yeah.
And here we go again.
Aaron Rodgers. He never left.
I called this before it ever happened. I told you when Kyler Murray was at the University of Oklahoma, he is going to be really, really good. And now he's got a shot. He's going to be right in the MVP race the whole year.
Okay, I want you to own that Baker Mayfield, too. Because you said he was going to be really good.
I did.
How he looking?
Yeah. Well, he had a great run to start his
No. Last year, and how did he look yesterday?
I told you Kyler would be better than Baker.
No.
I told you that.
But you said Baker was going to be good.
Yeah.
So I need you to own that, too, now.
Okay. And you jumped on the bandwagon with Baker, and you not own it anymore?
You did jump on a little bit.
You started calling him Shake and Bake, like you had a new nickname for him.
Yep. I need you to own that.
I need
you're
you
like
to own it with me.
You're trying to get in, Shannon, and then now you're trying to leave. You were a little bit on the Baker bandwagon.
I would L Jack.
Just a little bit.
I would L Jack.
It was not pretty yesterday for him. We're just going to leave it at that.
No mercy.
LeBron and the Lakers finished off the Rockets on Saturday in five games to advance to the Western Conference Finals. Kawhi and the Clippers will need to win one more game after dropping Game 6 yesterday to Denver if we want to see an all-LA matchup. So, Shannon, how big of an advantage is it for LeBron that the Clippers are going to a Game 7?
Well, they have, five full days off, Skip? Look, the Lakers have had rest after every, because Portland had to have a play-in game, so they had rest after that. They've been resting up. They had rest after the Rockets because the Rockets had to go seven games. So they have rest. I kind of like them to continue to play because once they hit a stride, Skip, they start playing really well. They lost both games, game one to Portland, game one to Houston, and then won four straight in both series. Mm. So I kind of was hoping that, The Clippers going to win, just go ahead and do it so we can start this thing off on Wednesday.
Mm.
Now, since they got pushed back, they're going to play Tuesday.
You're building an excuse.
No, I don't build no excuse. Build an excuse for what?
Mm.
That's what you do. Mm. That's what you do, saying that all their focus is on the Lakers as they lose game after game. Mm-hmm. At first, when they lose it in the regular season, it wasn't because they're ready for the playoffs. They're just getting ready for the playoffs.
Mm.
Now it's the playoffs and they're losing. You building more excuses. And then when they get knocked out by the Nuggets, LeBron got a cakewalk. Now the West is a cakewalk.
Mm-hmm.
At first, LeBron couldn't do this in the West.
Mm.
Now he's in the West, and it looks like he's going to come out of the West. Oh, the West is a cakewalk.
Mm.
So you're building in your excuses.
Mm.
So for me, look, they need as much because I guess it's not going to be like in the past. They're going to be playing every other day because they got to get this thing wrapped up here before long. And so I would have preferred them to play Wednesday, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Mm.
So doesn't matter. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, doesn't matter.
I would love the Clippers against your Lakers, but I have serious doubts that the Clippers are going to get to your Lakers. So it's already time to congratulate LeBron James for winning his fourth championship. cakewalk.
So why is it a cakewalk?
You're going to get the Nuggets when their fairy tale is going to come to a crashing halt.
But, Skip, no, that's not what you said. Mm-hmm. People never said the West was a cakewalk. Mm. People said the West was the Topher's Conference. The East was the cakewalk. So, now LeBron is in the West. Now the West is the cakewalk.
So,
why?
So you got the way overrated Trailblazers. You should have swept them, and it took five games. Then you got Houston, who won the first game, and it's 1-1, and Daniel House's bubble burst, and so
Daniel
did
House.
Yes, Daniel House, that Mike D'Antoni had called as improved a player as there is in the league, becoming one of the better players in the league.
The same Mike D'Antoni that said the Lakers were desperate because they made changes in order to not let James Harden go ISO ball one-on-one. That Mike D'Antoni?
That one.
Oh.
Who beat you soundly in game number one.
But let me ask you a question.
Who had you down a point with 10 minutes left in game number two.
And got the door
blown. And Rondo saved your whole season.
Let me ask you a question, Skip. Why didn't you all guys sweep the Mavericks? They were a seventh seed.
You're talking about the Lakers.
No. You keep talking about the Lakers should have swept Portland and the Lakers should have swept Houston. Why didn't you guys sweep? You guys were the better team.
I picked it a seven-game series.
No.
I know you were wrong. Well, I did.
You know, and what did I pick? And what did I pick Houston?
I don't remember.
Hey, you do remember.
Yeah.
I got this many on it.
Okay.
And what did I pick on Portland?
I got lucky. You got big lucky.
Whoa, Skip.
And then you're going to get Boston or Miami? Seriously?
No, we're not.
It's like you're playing a G League team.
Now, see what you do? See, everything you can is to minimize what LeBron is accomplishing. Mm. You said he couldn't do this in the West.
I said he can't beat the Clippers, and I don't think the Clippers can now beat the Nuggets.
The Clippers got their own fish to fry. Don't worry about what we got in our cookout. Eat what you got at your cookout. Mm. Yeah, we got good stuff over here.
Yeah.
We got lobster. Yeah. We got scrimps, scallops, baked potatoes, nice steaks.
Yeah, you're about to get boiled like lobster if they get to the next.
You guys got the old hobo cookout.
No mercy.